I always have had kind of a split personality, so. So I'll start on this side. When it comes to Doug's turn, I'll go over there, right? Nah. Well, welcome to our messages about the six streams. We've been talking about six different ways that we can go closer to God. Anyone here that doesn't want to do that? Don't we all want to do that? Well, last week, Doug talked about the contemplative tradition. Do you remember what that was? Prayer-filled, right. We spend time with God every day, getting closer with God. And then we talked about the social justice tradition. And what's that? Yeah, well, those are the folks that jump out of bed in the morning and say, okay, God, what's my assignment today? And they're out working in those food pantries. They're having those garage sales for Catholic Charities. They're doing all those things. They remind us that we don't just sit here, that we get out there, and that our job is really to change the world by co-partnering with God. So today we're going to share two more ways for you to grow spiritually. The first one is the evangelical tradition, and the second is the charismatic tradition. I know, because you've all told me that your favorite gospel scripture comes from Matthew 28, verses 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And you just can't wait to get outside this door and do that as soon as we're finished, right? How many of you are ready to go do that? I won't ask for a show of hands. I kind of know what it would be with this group, I'll tell you, you know. There's something about the word evangelism that kind of puts this fear in your heart, doesn't it, you know? And I know what you're all thinking. I'm the one gifted in evangelism because it's the pastor's job, right? You're not alone in thinking that. I think that going out to making disciples is probably the least practiced thing in our churches today, you know? And for most Christians, they probably haven't led someone to Christ or talked to them about it and got them to give their heart for it, you know? One name sticks out for me when I think about contemporary evangelicals. Who might that be that's out there preaching about it all the time? Who do you think about? Billy Graham, right? He says that's what his job is, that he was born to go out and preach the gospel, and he does, right? All over the world, he carries that message, totally focused on sharing the word of God and bringing people to Christ. Of course, the Apostle Paul, he was evangelical too, wasn't he? He went everywhere preaching to come to repentance and reconciliation. And even Peter, after he denied Jesus three times, what did Jesus tell him to do? Go feed my sheep three times, which in gospel lingo says you better pay attention to this, right? And so he did. Went out there, saved many souls, talked to them about Jesus. Sometimes when I'm thinking about this tradition, you might think this too. I saw this cartoon once. There was this medieval crusader, right? And he had his sword with him, and he had somebody on the ground, and he had the sword right to his throat, and the guy is struggling. And he looks up at him and says, "Tell me more about your Christianity. I'm terribly interested." Right? That's the picture I think that most of us have when we're thinking about that evangelical tradition. But you know what? You don't have to be Apostle Paul. You don't have to be that crusader, that's for sure, right? You don't have to be Billy Graham to be able to do this, because we're all called to proclaim the good news in our own way, in our own time. And you say, "Pastor Jan, I'm afraid I can't think well on my feet." And you know what? There isn't a Christian witness alive who's not felt that same fear when it comes to do this. So you say, "Okay, Pastor Jen, I'd do it, but I don't know what to say. What if he asks me a question and I can't answer it?" Well, what did somebody say to you? Why are you here today? Have you ever invited somebody to your house to learn how to do something? Maybe it was to work on something on your house. Maybe you were invited over to play video games. Maybe it was to learn a new card game. Did you say you have to do this? Or did you say, "Well, come over. Let's do it. Let's see what you think of it." More of a come and see attitude, you know? And that's what evangels do, really. They have this come and see. Come and see this abundant life that we have to offer. Come and see if you like it, you know. Come and make Jesus central to your life. Did somebody ever tell you to make Jesus central to your life? How many would think that's the best decision you ever made in your life? I would. I would say, you know, making Jesus my Savior and confessing Him as Lord is probably the best thing I ever did in my whole life, you know? One time there was this priest, by the way, and I wanted to tell you this, you know. If we think about, there was a little boy that was leaving church one day, and the priest said to him, well, how did Sunday school go? He says, who was your Sunday school teacher that day? And she told him what the name was. And then he said, well, you know, did you like it? He says, well, I don't know who she was, but I'm pretty sure she was Jesus' grandmother because she kept saying, Jesus, 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 right? That's what others want to know about. So how do you practice this tradition? Hard to do. Couple of suggestions. The first is read your Bible and just pick out some verses that are meaningful to you. Sometimes I suggest you just write them down on a card, carry it with you. If you got a purse, kind of hard if you're a guy. Stick it in your wallet, right? Because sometimes you can refer to that if you think, you know, if an opportunity comes up today, I'm going to share that verse with somebody. So you purposely go into your life saying, I'm going to share a word today. It's not going to kill you. It'd probably be okay. And if it's not, come and see me. I will do pastoral counseling with you. Right? The second thing is, don't overthink it. You're called to be a witness. And what does a witness do? Testifies, right? Testifies. How has God been acting in your life? What has happened in your life because of God? What has God meant to you and your life and in your family, right? That's what others want to know. They don't want to know the Apostles' Creed. They want to know, how's your life different? Because you know Jesus. You know, every spring I put up one of those hummingbird feeders. Maybe some of you do that, you know. Because those hummingbirds, they come north every year, I think around April, May, right, when it starts getting warmer. And I love to watch them out my window. And by the late August, though, what do? They start making their trip, kind of like certain people over there that are going to make their trip to Texas, right, in November, right? They only come north for one reason. That one reason is that's where they build their family. Because you see, the hummingbirds, the health and the growth of the next generation is the most important thing in their lives. And they risk their lives to be able to do that. I think ensuring the health and the growth of our church is probably one of the most important things in our life as well. So I'm going to invite you to be like a hummingbird. Invite somebody to church and invite them into our family. But in case you don't want to do that, we could talk about the charismatic tradition if you'd like to do that. You know, sometimes when you think about the charismatic tradition, you have this picture of people hitting people on the head and they fall down, or speaking in tongues. And while that is a piece of the charismatic tradition, I'd say to you that's a very small part of it. You know, in the New Testament, it's really clear that the Spirit, which is the charismatic tradition, by the way, you know, empowered Jesus' followers to do lots and lots of things. Think about it. The apostles, after Jesus ascended into heaven, they started performing supernatural things, didn't they? They healed the lame. They cast out demons. They cured the sick. Peter resurrected a dead girl. That was the Holy Spirit working, right? We're told Stephen did all these wonders, did all these miracles. Why do we think we're not capable of that if we're led by the Holy Spirit? Right into the church in Corinth, Paul said this. He said, to each one of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Manifestation being a number of things that it could be. These are totally distinct from our natural talents that we'd have, maybe being a good speaker or being a good sergeant or being a good HR person or whatever, or being a good mover, all those things. These are like supernatural powers that God gives us, you know? And just like Superman or Superwoman, you too are endowed with supernatural abilities. Did you know that? Doesn't that make you feel stronger just knowing you've got supernatural abilities? And I'll bet that term really makes you nervous now that I say you've got supernatural abilities, because it's not a word. Have you ever heard anybody in church tell you that? That you had supernatural abilities? And I think for a variety of reasons, the reason you haven't is because we kind of neglect the Spirit. We're really good about talking about God the Father. We're real good about talking about Jesus. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I don't think we're sure what to do with the Holy Spirit. There was a little boy that did this. Priest stopped him once and told him to come inside. He wanted to talk to him a little bit about the next Sunday service. And the little boy said, "I can't come in." And he says, "Because somebody's going to steal my bike." And the priest said, "That's okay, because the Holy Spirit will watch it." So the pastor goes in there, teaches him everything. Yes, this was a Catholic priest, Tim, just so you know. And and he said, "Now, after you say the prayer, I want you to go in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen." He said, "Now you try it." And the little boy said, "Okay, in the name of the Father and the Son. Amen." And the priest said, "What about the Holy Spirit?" And he said, "He's watching my bike." Right? I get this nervousness about the Holy Spirit, right? Spirit-filled churches are sometimes associated with things that we don't understand, you know, speaking in tongues, ecstatic displays, you know, things that some of us might find really unappealing or scary, or could this be Christian, right? But that's not the heart of this tradition. At the heart of this tradition, you know, is the fact that we're Spirit-led, that we were never created to live under our own power. We're created to live lives in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, a whole nother reality that exists. We're not on our own. God tells us that. Jesus sent us, the advocate, right? The Holy Spirit, and we try to ignore the Holy Spirit most of the time. But we have this abiding presence, if we want to recognize us, that can lead us to this abundant life. It's easy to say, I think, sometimes, to say, "I'm happy with myself. And my life is going the way it is. Why do I need the Holy Spirit?" It's easy to settle for the status quo. I don't know about you. Sometimes it's easier just to let things be than it is to try something different, right? But God is opening a door for us when the Spirit, and that we're hoping that the Spirit comes in. It reminds me about this story about a frog once. You probably wonder, what does frog have to do with religion? You are wondering that, right? Well, there was a little frog, and he lived in the bottom of a well, and he lived with his family, and he was very content to play with the little water that was down there. And one day he looked up and he saw that the sun was shining through, and he said, "What is that?" So he decided he'd find out. So he very slowly crawled to the top of that well, and he looked out. And lo and behold, when he looked out, he saw a pond. And he said, "That's 1,000 times bigger than any of the water that I've ever had in this pond, in my well." So he said, "I think I'll go a little farther." He went a little farther, and he ran into a lake, and it was huge compared to anything he had seen in his life. And so he decided he would go, and he would go, and he'd go, and he went for a long, long time. And he finally ran into the ocean, and he saw how vast the ocean was. And he stood there, and he gazed at it, and eventually he figured out, wow, when I was stuck back in my little world, I didn't know what I was missing. And just like the frog, God has a plan for you that's much bigger, much larger than anything that you could ever imagine. But the only way it's going to happen is we open ourselves up to the Spirit, open ourselves up to the possibility that maybe we can be transformed, and maybe there is something more for us in life than we are willing to imagine. That's the charismatic tradition. It's telling us to grow further. Open up yourself. Develop those gifts of the Spirit. Develop those love, the joy, the peace, the generosity, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. And if you're like me and you pray, "Lord, I want patience, I want it now," then you might want to practice this tradition by praying for a much deeper measure of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Of this I am certain. The Spirit is here to guide you, to equip you, to empower you, to be everything, to be transformed into who the person is that God's calling you to be. The person can only do what you will do in the world. So stop asking God to bless the things you're doing. Get involved with the Holy Spirit. Do what God has already blessed. Invite the Holy Spirit in. Amen.